Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for this day now, Lord. As we gather in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we come before thee, Lord, and gather around thy throne, gather around thy word of life, and as thou minister to us, O Lord, by the Spirit, O Lord, open our hearts, O Father. And let thy word, O Lord, sink deep into our heart. The Lord, we keep it there, thy holy word. And learn to walk in it, Father, in this hour of darkness that is here upon this earth. And may the Lord, as we walk along with you according to thy word, you bless us, Father. Give us the wisdom and the understanding of what's going on in this world now and what's coming ahead of us. And as we look to you, Father, let us, O Father, Lord, be led by that snow white dove to where you are calling from up there in the sky, O Father. And the Lord, as we fly towards thee and fly with you, until, Lord, we come to the place of perfection in Christ Jesus our Lord, waiting for that day of the blessed hope, when our body will be changed, and we will forever be with thee, Father. Father, we thank you now, Lord, ask that you bless, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the book of Genesis again, chapter 15, and this will be the part 2 of the golden nugget. The first part that we have entitled, the oil, the zeal, the way. And now, I am titled the second part, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. We finished off last week with Abraham, the call of Abraham. Oh, God renewed his covenant with Abraham. But remember this, the whole thing about this golden nugget issue is that we are looking at the blessed oil, the Holy Spirit that God gave it to us, and a special oil that he gave to the anointing of those who are called into the ministry. And those of us who have this anointing oil of the Holy Spirit upon us has to be born again and given this, you know, Zoe life or the eternal life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should have that zeal. And when we come to have that zeal, remember this one thing. If you have the wrong kind of oil, you have the wrong kind, your zeal will be all messed up. It's definitely, we have seen many out there, not in denomination, but out there in the end time message, especially. And I do not know, I just got a picture that was sent to me just now. But this new chart down here shows right now that the space between the last of the sun virtue, which is brotherly kindness, or brotherly love, and we have the name of Brother Branham next to it, because the bottom one, which is faith, which is name, which is beside him, is Paul. So when you come to the seven, you have Brother Branham, and then there's a space, and then your capstone. That space there, they put down there, perfection. Joseph, perfection. So now what are they hinting? Whoever put that chart, I have no idea. I got this text from a believer here in Singapore, and he just wondered, is what Joseph, perfection. Are they, whoever put that chart, are they referring to Joseph Branham as the one who is bringing in out the perfection or whatever? I don't know. No, was it referring to Joseph of the Bible? That is something which is very mysterious to me. But surely you have, we can see that when you get the wrong kind of anointing, the wrong kind of oil, your zeal, you're going to create something. Your zeal will take you into not the Word of God, But it's going to take you to man's way, man's opinion. Because we know from the Bible, the oil, the producers, the zeal will take you to the way of the Lord. Amen. Go to the book of Genesis 15. Abraham fought in the battle of the king in chapter 14 to save Lot at the same time. And then it says here in verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, this verse, well, if you have other version of the Bible, you will find there are all sorts of different translation. Some the part that I want to talk about is, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy shield, which is I am thy protector. And thy exceeding great reward. This phrase, thy exceeding great reward, has been translated in some version or even interpreted by commentator is that God is saying to Abraham that he will give him great reward. You know, that he will provide him with many rewards. But that's not what the Bible says. I know the difficulty in translation from Hebrew to English version. But you notice one thing, thy exceeding great reward, there is no italic words there. No filling in of the gap. This is literally word for word translation. God is saying to Abraham, that I am your reward. Your exceeding great reward. I am yours. We are not talking about a reward that God gave to Abraham. But now we are talking about a reward that God is Himself the reward to Abraham. And that's why when the more that I study this, sometimes it creates emotion in me. It creates the feeling of joy. Because as I always say, Abraham is our father. Our father of the faith. Do you understand? You know, it's not Paul. It isn't Paul. It isn't Peter. This is the beginning of that. Of God having a family, beginning with Abraham. So that he can give him the once promised seed, which came forth, you know, 2,000 years ago. And that is Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that God promised Abraham a seed, but he was not talking about Isaac per se. But the promise was that later, as we can see, from the very beginning, God promised him a son. But he didn't say anything else. But later on, as we look through the timeline, as God began to deal with Abraham, from year to year, from his calling when he was in the wood of Kadi at the age of 70, his whole family, father and all this moved to Haran. And then after 5 years, his father died. Then at the age of 75, Abraham came down to Canaan land. You know. And then God promised him that, since that time, God promised him a son, yeah. And it took him so long, at the age of 100 years, only that Abraham had Isaac. But during all those 25 years, when he left Haran to go down to Canaan land, God was dealing with him year after year. Ever so often God visited him, appeared to him in a vision, and then began to give him more understanding as he give him a covenant after another. And then they began to understand, oh, it wasn't just Isaac, a physical son that God promised him. It was more than that. You know. So, when here we can see here, right here, after he went to rescue and fight, rescue Lord, and fought with the kings, the five kings that laid siege to Sodom, Gomorrah, and all those other cities around. And that, you know, the wonderful thing is in chapter 14, the last part of it, as we can see, or we are all well acquainted with it. You see, in this verse chapter 15, when God spoke to Abraham, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward," this was spoken only after Abraham came back from the battle of the king with all the loot. You know, all the spoil. And then he, in chapter 14, on his way back, Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, he personally came to meet Abraham. Let's look at this. Verse chapter 14, verse 18. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." Now, here we have this Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, personally brought for bread and wine and met Abraham and blessed him. And then Abraham gave to him a tithe, 10% of all the spoil. Remember this one thing, it all belongs to Abraham. During the battle, which of course all those spoils were taken from all the city that this five king raided. So Abraham took it and he of course gave back to those, the thing that belongs to those people, he gave back, and the rest of course that was down to his, he can do whatever he wants with it. He could have kept all of it, but what would Abraham need of it? Yet he gave God 10%. And yet sometimes, have you ever wondered why, as I said here, when we talk about Revelation, you just think about it, why did Abraham give God only 10%? You know, he could have given God all of it, but here, something must have happened to Abraham that the inspiration or anointing that came upon him, that he took a thing that is just meaning to understand that he, in giving to the Lord, he wanted to be set as forth as an example that others might follow. Because I believe many people just, you know, don't think about giving to the Lord. They will do sacrifice, yes. There were sacrifices. They sacrificed the animal, this and that. But here is whatever came into his hand. Not something that he earned. Not like you are a shepherd, you raise cattle, you raise sheep and goat, and you will take the best of the flock and sacrifice it to the Lord, or has a burnt offering, which is commonly the one because you want to give it as a joy to the Lord. But here it is something that was a spoil of war. Something that is of value, that is gold, a silver, precious stones, whatever. I know in our today's context, when the soldier, especially the mercenaries that goes up there, you know, to fight another country, if you ever look into some of the report, they went out there to raid other country, they would take the spoil for themselves. But here Abraham decided to give 10% to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, the King of Peace. And we know who that was, who that represented. And then After this was over, I don't know how long it was, how many days passed, the Lord God came to Abraham and appeared to him in a vision. Now, I believe the reason why God appeared to Abraham in this vision was because of what he did. God did not ask Abraham to give to him 10% of the spoil. It was his free, free choice. It was his freedom to give, his liberty to give as much as he wanted to the Lord or not at all. It doesn't matter to God. But because Abraham gave it to the Lord, and the Lord appeared to him and says, Abraham, I'm your protector. I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. I am all that is to you. Now, just think for that, I'm so excited to know this. It was not anything that Abraham earned to get this reward of God himself giving himself to Abraham. But it's something really so tremendous that is passed down from Abraham all the way down to a generation towards every one of us. Remember, we see how that God called Abraham before and promised him a son. I don't know how many years has passed in this chapter 15. But one thing for sure, because his relationship with God was so real, that God imputed upon Abraham righteousness. Let's just go on over here in the same chapter. Abraham said, Lord God, what would thou give me? See, I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham said, behold to me, you have given me no seed. Lord, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, he shall not be thy heir, for he that shall come out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, now look toward heaven and tell the star if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Interesting here. Look at the heaven. Look up and count the star if you can. Now this is what mysteries and the revelation unfold to Abraham a little at a time. And he need to tell us that we need to learn from this, that God will reveal revelation or will reveal the truth of mystery to you at a certain time in your life. You don't get it all at once. Do you understand this? And of course, if you already are in love with the Lord, in tune with the Lord, like Abraham was, then God can show it to you. You cannot say, oh, Brother Ken, I have been a Christian now for 10 years. I've been to church, but I don't get any revelation from the Lord. I'm still learning and couldn't understand. But how much time did you spend with the Lord? The question is, how much time have you spent with the Lord? You see, it is not just going to church every Sunday, but you don't spend time with the Word of God, you don't spend time prayer, you don't spend time studying. How do you expect God to reveal to you? You go to church, you come by, go to church, you come home, you hear a sermon and you don't really study to find out more about it. A lot of people do that on every Sunday. Isn't that true? Here in the last verse 6 here we see, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Remember I said to that the word imputed, it came from the Hebrew word kasham. Means to say that what weave is just like weaving a cloth, fabricating weaving. God imputed, God weave righteousness into Abraham. Think about it then. It's all because Abraham believed God. Because God said, look into the heaven and count the number of stars. You care? And Abraham believed God. And so shall thy seed be. Abraham believed God. You know, God said it, that's enough. You believe it, that settles it. That should be the way it should be. But many times, you know, many of us question. Especially right now with all this going on in the world, crazy thing that's happening. People are dying of the virus, or people dying out there in the protests in different countries. You know, there are so many protests going on. America, in Europe, in Hong Kong, Taiwan. And I don't know, even in Philippines recently too. Also in India. And people get hurt, people die. And I believe that among those that die, they might be, they are Christian. Whether they got the death put upon them because of, well, they go to the protest, or because they're careless and they got infected and their health is not good and they die of COVID, and their relatives or friends and will be questioning why. Yes. A lot of people are getting upset, and I believe that this pandemic that's going around the world, and people are affected mentally. People do crazy things. Now, here we understand this, that when God called Abraham, it was a faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. It wasn't Abraham that chose God. It was God that chose Abraham. The Bible said, no man seek after God. Huh? God seek after man, which is very true. But you know the Bible said in the book of Psalms, that those that seek me early shall find me. The brethren, you're talking nonsense then. The Bible said that they seek me early shall find me. Yeah, that's true. A lot of people, they seek God and they found God. But what God is talking about is that God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yeah, a lot of people seek after God. I found Jesus. Now, really? Okay, Jesus found me. Okay, now what? Do you worship in spirit and in truth? A lot of people found God only because they want something from God. Isn't that true? You know, when I was young, yeah, my mom talked to me about Jesus, and oh, sounds a wonderful name, and talk about what He did. So I went to the, you know, Baptist church nearby. You know, as a child, a young kid in a Sunday school, of course, learn something. Then they have morning worship, so they go and listen. 11 years old, sit down there and listen. See, learning what preacher have to say. Yeah, I thought I found God. Yeah, I found Christ. I just go to church. I went to church and sat there listening, learning. But it is God who found me. Amen. And when He found me, what then? Am I going to really worship Him in spirit and in truth? And that's why they're so true. One sheep that's lost, the shepherd of that sheep will go find him. The sheep out there that is lost is helpless. All he can do is bleed, cry, looking for the Savior, looking for the shepherd. And the shepherd is the one that go out highway and byway, up the mountain, down the valley, in the cave and all crevices to see, looking for that one lost sheep. So, don't say that you found Christ. I remember back many years ago in the 60s that you have this campaign, Christian crusade, to come with the buttons, I found it, I found it. You know, they wear it, they say, I found it, and then people ask, what did you find? I found Christ. That's what it is. I found it, I found it. I found the truth, I found the gospel, I found life. It is God to give you life. You understand? So faith was given to Abraham. And you know one thing about Abraham? The relationship between God and Abraham that is that they are friends. Remember Jesus said to the disciple, I no longer call you my servant. I call you my friend. What's the difference between friend and servant? You know, the master don't tell the servant of the household his secret. But if you have a good friend who is very close to you, you're related with him, you will tell him. Right? Of course, a friend in need is a friend indeed. And there, you know, there is no such a, there is a what called, it's a good thing when you have, when you're really in dire need, that your friend even will sacrifice for you. And that's what the relationship between Abraham and God really was like. They were friends. I call you my friend. Because what? Because of this obedience that Abraham had in responding to God. And what God said to him, sacrifice now your son Isaac. And he did it. And because of that faith, you know, the Bible said, and Abraham believed in God. The word believe, once again, remember this, is faith. You cannot believe until you have a revelation. And faith is a revelation. You cannot believe in something that you do not know. Oh, but Brother Graham, didn't the song say, only believe, only believe. Did not Brother Abraham say, if you don't understand, just believe. That's kind of strange, isn't it? There are things that I don't understand. I believe you. For example, if I'm a child, and you tell the child that a piece of ice that you hold in your hand, say, this comes from the water. But you look at the water is liquid, but this one is solid. You know, but you as a parent tell them, this is actually from water when you freeze it. You know, when I talk to Adam, sometimes I tease him. You know, tease him. And then he'd look at me. Is it true, Grandpa? Is it true, Grandpa? He will ask me this. You know, and then no, it's not true. When I joke with him and just being funny with him. No, kids will always ask, is it true? You're not bluffing? Yeah. That's why I said, you're not bluffing? Grandpa, you're not bluffing? Okay. You see, Abraham was like a child when God said this, and he believed in God. But when you get, how do you get the belief? That's wrong. When you take your eyes and show it to the kid that this is water, they will say, are you bluffing? Is it true? Because they don't have the revelation of what that eyes is. So, but when you grow older and you realize, oh, when you freeze it, water turns to a solid piece of liquid. Solid liquid, solid water, you want to call that. It's ice. And you throw on the floor, it breaks up. You see, then they say, oh, now I understand. Now that's what we call revelation. You cannot believe in something that you do not understand. That's why you say, you know, you cannot fathom the Trinity. Just believe. Because the Bible says, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, just believe. How do I believe that something I don't? How could that be a one God with three persons in there, and three persons are not gods, and each call themselves gods? So, you know, that's why a fair piece of revelation, as Barbara put it that way, which is so true. Huh? But if you tell me, how does miracle work? I don't know how miracle works. I don't have leg, but now I have leg. All I know is that I believe in God. The revelation God said, I'm going to give you a leg. But how did the leg come up when I have no leg? I don't know how to explain it. I believe that my leg is there because it appeared. So there are some things that you can say, only believe, even though you do not understand it. But there are certain things that you cannot just believe when you need to understand it. Alright, so righteousness was imputed upon Abraham because of them. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. That's why I say this is very important. You cannot grow in grace. You know, it takes faith. It takes your relationship with God. And then will God or Christ come in to you and fellowship with you and reveal himself to you. And that's how friendship developed. Genesis 3:9. And the Lord called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? You see, again, as I said this, Christ is knocking at the door. You have to open it. Adam, Adam, where art thou? You have to answer. That's why I said, why? Not that God doesn't know where Adam was hiding. I said this many times. God wants a response from you. Adam, Adam, where art thou? Let us not play hide and seek, because I know where you are. Obviously, Adam have to respond. Where are you, Adam? And Christ standing at the door and knock. Open the door, and I'll come in. You have to respond. If you don't open the door, Christ will not come in, because Christ, he does not force himself on you. Remember that. Remember what the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. And who is on the Lord's side, let him come. Everything is an invitation. Everything is a something that requires your response. So you don't expect God to be your exceedingly great reward. You see, the more that you, Abraham walked with God down throughout the years of his life until Isaac was born. He walked with God. He's very conscious of God. And when he sees three strangers come by, he recognized who these three men were. Huh? You see. So, the thing is that we should be very discerning and being very aware of what is happening in the plan and purpose of God, how God unfolds himself, his plan and his purpose in your life, in my life, and as far as the world is concerned, also what is going to happen. Do you understand that? So remember this one. Hear his voice. When he knocks, it's up to you to open or not to open. Many times, you know, when God is knocking on our heart, we don't even hear. You know, we are out there somewhere working, and somebody come up from behind, tap us on the shoulder, just lightly, we can feel it. We turn around. When Christ tapped into the door of your heart, would you feel that tap? Do you hear that tapping? Between Abraham and Sarah. You know, God dealt with Abraham. I want you to go back to the time before God called Abraham. He was living with his family, uncle, auntie, all the kinfolks up there in the city of Ur, of Chaldea. There was the empire of the Babylonians. You know, it's a Babylonian empire, I mean, you know. After Nimrod and all those men that came after Nimrod, the kings, all these, they were all idol worshippers. Many of them have gone into paganism. You know, many people believe that Abraham, Isaac, Lot, they were all believers of the one true God. Oh, that's not true. That's not true. You see, paganism becomes so rampant. It's just in the day of Noah. And the Bible said, God, look all over the earth. And you only found one righteous man, that's Noah, right? Why? So when God, in that time of Abraham, God looked down from heaven above. The men have gone into what they want to do. Just in chapter 6 of Genesis, before the flood, the Bible tells us that the sons of God, the Semitic people, the Semitic men, crossed over the line and married those Canaanite women. The Bible said there were giants in those days when the sons of God went after the daughters of men and took them to wife. And I said this often. It is not just the Nixit. It is God put the blame on the Semitic man. You know, whenever you commit a sin, don't always say this, the devil made me do it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that brother irritated me. Oh, that sister irritated me. Don't blame it. When you commit a sin, don't blame it on anybody else. God, when Genesis said, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 said that, there were giants in those days when the sons of God came unto the woman and of the daughters of men and took them to wife. Giant appeared because the sons of God intermarried with the Canaanite woman. Oh, but brother God, did not the Canaanite man marry the Semitic woman? Yeah, of course there were. But God did not blame it on the Canaanite man. He blamed it. He put the blame. So the Bible said so. When the sons of God went in after the daughters of men. Don't try to give excuses. Oh, they all married. They all mixed together. I know they mixed together. But why should a man go in and marry the woman of the Canaanite people? And God put the blame on the man and not the woman. If the Canaanite man would have crossed over to the Semitic side and took the Semitic woman, it's a different story. But you don't read it like that. Every problem that's happened in this world, we can always trace it to God. Sure. The Bible said, God said, I create both good and evil. Is that right? Yeah. So, put the blame on God. So, why did the sun, what happened in Garden of Eden? We put the blame on Adam. Because that's what God did. We know that the woman was seduced, deceived by the serpent. But God did not put the blame on Eve. It's strange, right? It's always the head. Adam, where are you? God did not come to the garden and say, Eve, where are you? You always look for the head. Remember that? You know, when God called Abraham, his wife Sarai, chosen to believe. A lot of people don't believe that they were, she was a pagan too, an idol worshiper too. But look at what happened later on, even Abraham gave birth to Isaac gave birth to Jacob, and see what happened, that there were idols in the home. You read that, you will know. And, well, some Christians say, yeah, I don't have idol. I don't keep idol. I'm a Christian now. I don't keep idol. But you know, there are all kinds of idols in many Christian life. Huh? I don't know what the idol you have. Think about it. I'm not just talking about an idol, a little figurine, or a big figurine of wood or stone. Idol could be many things in this modern life. Idol could be a high-tech little make of metal, make of plastic that you hold in your hand. Anything. When God called Abraham, he didn't call Sarai. And that's what God did with Abraham. And remember, always remember this, the head of the house. Remember Cornelius? He believed God, he believed Christ. Christ said, thou shalt be saved in thy household. Because the man can believe, and by his righteous life he lived for Christ, he lived in that faith, he will have an influence upon his family, an influence upon the whole household. It's the life of the head. And when God called the head, he called the body. The body will follow. You believe in that? When God judged the serpent, what happened to Mr. Serpent? A lot of people say, oh, well, how come the Bible means only one serpent? Does it not have a maid? Of course, they have a maid. The denomination don't see it. And we know that those that withstood Moses, Korah and Dathan, they were, the whole family all went along with him. When he judged the head, the whole body of the whole family will go along with him. Or the body of the head will go along with him. Do you understand? You see. So now, who is the head of the church? Christ. The head of the body. The church is his body. Is that right? If the head of the body of Christ resurrected and go up, what will happen to the body? The body must go. That where I am, there you shall be also. That's a fact. So rest secured. Because as God said to Abraham, Christ could say to you, I am your exceeding great reward. Because he hath given himself to you. That when he died, you died with him. The head died, the body died with him. The head resurrected, the body was resurrected. The head ascended to heaven, the body was also ascended. You see, that's what these mysteries lie here in the life of Abraham. Go to John chapter 14 and verse 21. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So you see, first of all, hear the voice. Follow through. Because that's when you receive the revelation. That's why the relationship between Abraham and Yahweh is so very real. I'm a friend. We sing the song, I be a friend to Jesus, right? Right? Yeah. If you be a friend to Jesus, first of all, you must understand, you cannot be a friend to him unless he is your friend. Because he is the one that gives himself to you. A friend in need is a friend indeed. There's no greater, you know, a friend sometimes is better than a brother, because a friend will even lay down his life for you. Think about it, huh? Hear the voice. Open the door. Come into him. That's when he unfolds his revelation. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Psalms 50, verse 23. Whosoever offered a praise glorified me. And to him that ordered his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Right. To those who hear the voice of God, open up. Christ will manifest himself, and he will show the salvation of God to him. Simple, huh? Okay, John. Back to John again. John chapter 16 now. And verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show new things to come. Ah. He will show you things to come. So Abraham was called of God when he was 70 years old. And his father and family moved from Ur of Chaldees, went up to Haran, the city there. His father was old and guys were tired, not able to make down the journey. So they stayed there for 5 years at the age of 75. That's when, after the father's death, Abraham came down with his family to the promised land. And God said to him, Abraham, wherever your foot, you should walk on this land, that land is yours. You know, when God called Abraham, the whole house will follow. And here came this nephew, righteous Lot. Yeah. He was called righteous Lot because he followed the uncle. And he believed the uncle. You know, all those time when Abraham was in the Ur of Chaldees, from what I understand, if I were looking out at the population of people, people have all their idols, the uncle and all, nephew all have idols. They would, yeah, they might worship some god up there. Or maybe like Paul went to Eden, and there was this inscription, to the unknown god. Now, do you know the Red Indian? In America, you know, they worship an unknown god, literally. I mean, they have name for the unknown god. Like in China, what we call the unknown god, the people who call God was Shanti or Sun, whatever, you know? Huh? So you just call God. You don't know the name of God, so perhaps you give him a name. So the Red Indian in America, you know, they have this, you know, worship up there, they dance and all this before the good spirit and they dance. They don't have an idol. And they will describe perhaps in the worship of God that God is just like a great eagle flying in the air freely and we will be like him. And the souls of men or whatever, you know, how they worship. Interestingly, the many religion in the world did back in ancient time when people build up shrine up there in the mountain trying to worship God. But you know, later on, just like China. You know, the people migrate all the way to China. China, if you notice that, were traced back to the lineage of Iba. And they have, according to what ancient record, the archaeologists research, they found that they actually believe one God, but not idol, not pieces of wood or stone. But over a generation of time, some guy come in and make money out of a commercialized religion. Like what we have in the world today. Like what we have in Singapore. Like what we have in Malaysia, in India, many places. Some quack come along and what? And introduce some, slowly creep in and introduce And even we have seen those women that were being deceived and molested by so-called priests. You know, people wanted to contact the supernatural, but they do not know how. And then here comes this quack priest and or pastors or whatever you have, shaman, and deceive them, their money, molest them. Terrible. You know. So go call Abraham. And Abraham came down. Believe. How big when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak on himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, though here we are reading here about the Holy Spirit being given to us to guide us. But back in those days, they do not have the born-again experience. But God was guiding Abraham. So Abraham came down. So everywhere he walked, he put his foot down the land, said, "This is my land." He stepped on that right foot, and one another has taken a step forward. "This is mine. This is mine. This is mine." Abraham was just so excited. You know, when God told him that he's going to give him a son, and he told the Lord that, how is it possible? I'm so old already, you know. And I wish my wife could have a son. He said, God said, "Yeah, it will be not your servant Eliezer." And God promised him, and he believed. So of course he told his wife, the wife, "Okay, that's what your God told you. Okay, what's the name of your God?" "Yahweh, I am." "Oh, okay." You know, you see, everybody, people who have their own religion, their idol, they have the name of their God, right? Whether in India you have Krishna and you have Krishna or Diva, whatever, okay? And then you have the Chinese one, you have, you know, well, red face God, black face God, whatever. All kinds of God, they have name. Like even ancient time, in Mesopotamia you have the Dagon, you know, the God that shaped like a fish. And in Egypt, you go to the worship the scarab, the scorpion, the fox. Yeah. All kinds of God. So now Abraham told the family, told the wife that God promised him a child. So the wife goes to at that time, how was Sarah at that time? 65, okay? When they came down, Abraham was 75. Well, she was still young. Well, young because what? Abraham lived until he died at the age of 175 years. He was 175 years old when he died. Okay, by the time Moses came, the Lord came, they lived up to 120. And today we can live up to 120. Because God says, "Is there numbered? Men's day are numbered 120. Okay, now. Sarai, or later on your name will change to Sarah. She died at the age of 127. Abraham lived up to 175. Now, during his generation, you can live up to 180 years old. So, 180 years old, middle age is 90. So, let's say Sarah could live up to 118, because usually women live longer than men. We know that men die earlier than women. But Sarah must have some sense of problem, so she died early. Okay, now, so if you are 18, 90, now Sarah is only 65 years old. She has not reached menopause. What is a menopause age day? Women, we all can live up to 120, but of course not many can live 120. Because of the lifestyle, the stress you have, unless you live in Japan, more or less, or stressless life. But what is the menopausal age of men, I mean women today? In the Western world, it is said that average 51 years old, the menopause. But some women, menopause, even a little bit earlier. Okay? So the average age for women to menopause in the Western side is 51, over in the East, go up to 60 years old. Huh? So that's why we are middle age, 60. 50 something to 60. Alright, that's your menopause age. So now, Sarai is 65, still was not up to middle age, because his middle age will be, who is it, 18 to 19. Remember, 18 to 19. You see that? And so, 65, she was too young. She looks young, and pretty looking. Abraham was 75, good, handsome. But what happened? Later on, in, I think in Genesis 17, they went down to Egypt. Remember? Went out to Egypt, and Abraham was afraid. Because, you know, that the Pharaoh might take off a wife and kill him if he said if the husband. So he told Sarai to lie. That I'm just your brother. That was because he was 65 years old, too good looking. So now, all those years when Abraham came down from Ur of Chaldees, age of 75, 76, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, and so on. God is still trying him. And God promised him, Abraham and Sarah, was hoping that there will be a conception. But for so long, almost 13 years, to know nothing. In fact, 12 years passed. Wow, now how old would Sarah be? 65 plus 12. 74. Okay, menopausal is coming. She's getting old now. She's getting a bit, you know. So, you know, Sarah said, okay, tick, 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 Hagar. Because maybe God permitted that way. Because in those days, permitted. You know. But Abraham said, no, my wife, it is through you that we will get our son. Nevertheless, you know, men love their wife too much, sometimes get into trouble. And so Abraham did. Hearken to the voice of the wife, to the bondwoman, and out came Ishmael. And Ishmael was a wild man. Nevertheless, Abraham loved him. So now, as he continued one year after another, Abraham was on trial for his faith. But Abraham was patient. Just think for a while, after year, after year, after year, after year, after year. Until something happened in the book of Revelation, I mean, in the book of Genesis, chapter 17. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham. For the father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Kings will come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you, in their generation, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, or the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Remember what this verse says? All the land of Canaan, not just partial. And God said unto Abraham, this shall my covenant, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after thee. Every man child of among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and he shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in their generation, he that is born in the house or brought or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must need be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Verse 50. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sariah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, which is 90 years old, bear? Now here, I want you to notice here this. Here it looks like Abraham is a crackpot already. You know what's a crackpot? You know, you know, Abraham, for 24 years now, he's been working with the Lord, and the Lord said he'll get a son, and the wife said, okay, you said so, your God, I don't know him, but now I'm already dried up. The year before, Sarai told him to take Hagar the maid and have a son, and that's what she got a son in chapter 16, Ishmael. And the household, and every one of them must be thinking, Abraham is senile. Do you know what I'm saying? Because probably Abraham is every day getting excited and saying, I'm going to have a son, I'm going to have a son, I'm going to have a son. And all the household, the servants looking at him, and they whispered to each other, man, this old man is getting senile. Year after year, it's been 24 years now. I think the stress might have, the stress and the testing out here in this wilderness of this Canaan land must have cracked him up. Because Abraham was a vessel. Remember, every one of us is a vessel unto God. What is good is a vessel. Christ is a potter, we are the clay. He make a vessel. What must he do to the vessel? He put into the fire. We are all tried by fire. Abraham was tried by fire until he was cracked up. And you can call him a crackpot. No, I think it's okay to be a crackpot. You know, Abraham believed. You know what he says here? In 17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. What kind of laughter is this? People who don't understand here was a laughter of joy. You know, if we read like this, okay, let me read it the way people think and how you read. 17. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and to Sarah that is 90 years old? Ha ha ha! That is crazy, cannot be. Now he wasn't laughing like that. You understand what I mean? He was laughing with joy. Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Ha! Think about it. Shall an old man give birth? Shall the wife who is 90 years old still be able to give birth? Ha! You bet. We could do it. God said it. It is possible. Amen. It was a laughter of joy. But he fell on his face and said, oh God, the Ishmael might live before you. Because you see, when the promised son comes forth, it seems that Ishmael is pushed aside. And God said to him, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which shall bear unto thee at this set time, in the next year, at this set time, in the next year. Interesting. What does he mean? At this set time, in the next year. Remember, we're all looking for the 700 to some. But I show you a mystery right here. Here it was. This is the third covenant that God made with Abraham at this time. And to meet this covenant, God said to him, be circumcised. And in verse 24, the Bible said, Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his skin. In the self same day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, bought with money of the stranger, was circumcised with him. Now Abraham was such a friend with God that his life was radiant. So much so that the people in his whole household, every man, Abraham said to them, you are my household. I believe in the God of Yahweh. You know me all these years. But don't think I'm crack up. I'm not a crackpot. I believe that God is going to give me a son. And he told me that every one of you men must be circumcised. Are you with me? Just think, well, he's the head of all the whole household. He's all his servants, you know. Those that take care of the cattle, the sheep, the goat, whatever. Those who take care of the food, the store of food. Those who cook. They say, yes, we follow you. They don't think Abraham was a crackpot. But what happened? Remember this. It was after this circumcision that something happened. Yes. It was this circumcision that took place. Because watch what verse 21 said. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. How old was Abraham? 99 years old. Right. Then he got circumcised. There must be a covenant. Here was the spoken word, but yet this was spoken only to Abraham, not to Sarah. Okay. Then in chapter 18, what do you see? We had the three angels that came down. Is that right? Is that right? Okay. Before we do, look at chapter 18. Now let's go to Revelation 22. And verse 4. And they shall see my face. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their forehead. Remember first I told you. Hear his voice. Then get close to him. Get the revelation. Then you shall see his face. This is the most coveted price. Right? Because we shall all soon see the face of God. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Right? What about Revelation chapter 6 and see what it says here? Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. For those who do not hear the voice of God nor receive His revelation shall not see His face, but Revelation 6:16 says, to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sit on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. These are for those who know not God. For those who know God shall see His face. Now, go back to Genesis. Here we have chapter 18, the three angels that came to Abraham. Right? Okay, now God is doing something here. Okay, the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Moreh, and he sat in the tender in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent floor and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, that's the word Lord means someone you respect, Adonai. If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray you, from thy servant. Let the little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and raise yourself under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah, and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the heath. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and give it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will surely return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard him in the tent which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it shall be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. After I wax old, shall I have a pleasure? My love being old also. Come on. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laughed, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, nah, you did laugh. Here, that's why you have understood the mystery here. First, the Lord spoke to Abraham in chapter 17. Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. Alright, a son which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. Then after the circumcision, the covenant that was established here, then the Lord appeared to him again. Watch what now? Okay? Abraham recognized these three men, because one of them he has seen before. You must understand, huh? One of them he recognized, because that one that he recognized was the one that appeared to him before in visions. And now these three men came. He addressed them all as Adonai. the blessed of the earth, the Lord. Sit down. Let me prepare you something. Before whatever you are doing, before wherever you are going. So they sat down. I don't know how long they sat down. You know, you prepare a meal, fresh meal. Okay? Freshly cooked. Not fast food. Not McDonald's where you can get it within 2 or 3 minutes. This one you have to wait. So they sat down in the cool of the day, and Abraham busy himself preparing all that, then present the food there, and he stand down there while they eat. Then this one who spoke said to him in verse 9. Now question is, not that God didn't know where Sarah was. He was still answering, still mother reply from Abraham. Where is Sarah, your wife? Behold, he's in a tent. All this while Sarah would be able to listen. Perhaps he must be curious, coming out to see who these three men were, peeping behind some places. Right, curiosity kills the cat, then, you know, as they say. Abraham says, he's in a tent. Then God spoke, make sure that there is a weakness. I will suddenly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. God purposely said that so that Sarah could hear it. You talk about spoken word? You have to hear. If Sarah did not hear, God already spoke to Abraham in the last chapter. And now, he makes sure that Sarah hears it. That's why he asks Abraham, where is your wife? Where is Sarah, your wife? Not because, as I said, not because God doesn't know. But if Sarah is somewhere in the field somewhere, he probably asks him to go and call her. You know. But as I said this, all this plan already was there. And since Sarah was in the tent preparing the food already, just nearby. And when God said that, Sarah laughed. Couldn't believe it. But it doesn't matter whether Sarah believed or not. It is the head must believe. And I say this often. Because holiness could believe. You could save the whole household. Because your life is what shows it. Abraham is believing God, all these 24 years. Huh? A vessel put into the heat of fire, testing, patiently waiting. And we are all waiting, are we not? Amen. Are you going to crack up? Don't be a crackpot. A vessel with a crackpot doesn't hold water, huh? All the goodness will leak away. But you know, here and now, what did God say then? When Sarah laughed. In verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, when I heard about it, is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me say this. How many of us believe in miracles? Amen. We believe in miracles, yes. But what is miracle? There have been some people put up some article. If God is with you, then why is all the miracles? Huh? Pentecostal, I have to say this. And even end time message people, I have to say this. If your church has the Holy Ghost, how come you do not know what the sin is going on in your church? Unbelievable. These are the people that come to know that God is with them. And they will ask, is God with you? Then where is all the miracle? If you are the Holy Ghost, how come you do not know the sin that's going on in the church? If you have the Holy Spirit, how come you do not know what is going on among the brother and sister, the evil that has been done? Kind of strange. Huh? Does Jesus Christ know what Judas was up to? Does he know? Nobody he called him up and get rid of him. Did he not say, I chose one of you, a devil? Is that right? So now there's this thing that happened. There were two women. They both had same affliction. They need an operation, a surgery. But they are looking for miracles. The doctor said, you cannot wait. You know? No, we believe miracles. God is with us. We have a miracle working God. Of course we know we have a miracle working God. So they didn't. So they pray and they pray and they fast and they fast. Nothing happened. They were not healed. There were no miracles in the being. Until their life was so in danger that they went for surgery. They suffered all the while in pain. They went for surgery. And after the surgery, they slowly recovered. And one of them was very upset with God. What are you, Lord? I believe in you for a miracle. You didn't. Give me the miracle. Whereas the other one, she realized, God don't always do miracles just because you want it. And that's true. There are a lot of Christians who talk about miracle working God but doesn't know how God works. Well, Abraham waited for how many years? Huh? Was not Yahweh a miracle God to him? Did not Yahweh spoke to him? I mean, did he not speak to him and say, I am your exceeding great reward. Then Lord, give it to me now. Did he ask for that? No. In his time. Everything that God does will be in his time. And so what happened now? Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life. And Sarah will have a son. What does it mean? It means what? What is the time of life? What is the time of life? People say, oh, Sarah was give birth the following year. This is not what he said. The time of life. In some version, I was reading it just to find out. I was curious what this person was trying to interpret. And what commentators say. Oh, I said the time of life is springtime. Time of life is springtime. Because that's when the lambs are born. When flowers bloom. No, that nonsense. This is because there's an interpretation of the Americans, Western ideas. Because they talk about four seasons, springtime. There's a problem said that Christ was born in spring, April, when the lambs are born. Abraham said that, I know that. Because the idea was there. But in Israel, is there a four season? They don't have four season. You don't find the word autumn. Okay? In the Bible. Huh? You don't find the word spring in the Bible. They only have two seasons. Summer and winter. But they're not the kind of summer and winter as we know in the in the northern hemisphere, in America, Canada, or Europe. So you see the idea, set time this year, the time of life, as if it's springtime. No. What is the time of life? You want to know revelation of this? Let me tell you. It's when your cycle of life starts. Remember this Sarah was already menopause, already over. I mean, his menopause already was upon him, upon her, right? How old was she now? Almost 90, right? Am I not right? 89 years old. She was 89 years old. Menopause. Did nothing. How old was she? She's all the wrinkles, right? The skin all dry. Am I not right? Yes or no? Come on. When I was denomination, when they preach about this, I was thinking, oh, wow. They were talking about, you know, old men and old women can come together and an old man can carry a child. Well, back then, of course, I know nothing because I was in the system. But then when I began to be a nurse, then I realized that this is not possible for old woman to hold a child. Take for example, a 60-year-old woman today who's only menopause. Intra vitro, whatever you have, right? Put it into her womb. Put hormone into her and see whether she can carry the baby. Huh? Yeah. But the word being spoken now, spoken word, remember! That's why I believe in the thunders. That's when, what happened? In the next few days to weeks, the first few months, the body will begin to change. When Abraham and Sarah's body begin to change, when they begin to change, the season of life is coming back to them. Now, if you look at the animals out there in the world, you know, look at the dogs and the cat, whatever, their mating season, there is a season. What do you call mating season, right? You understand, don't you? Oh, the female cat or female dog, when they are in season, especially the cat, in the middle of the night. You know that, don't you? Meowing all the way, because they are in the heat. And the male one also looking for them, meowing away too. And so with the dog and the horses. So you see, it takes a little while for Abraham's body and Sarah's body to change. God did not say when the spoken word was spoken, it doesn't mean that tomorrow morning Abraham woke up, woo! I look like a 20-year-old man. You know what? They were scared, all the servants. Who are not this man? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a slow process, day after day, slowly changing. Do you know? That's why, you know, when Brahman made the remark, and while I see the scripture, when Christ was upon the earth for about 40 days before he ascended, he was with the disciple. And that's why we're going to have revival. We'll be changed slowly. Until your white hair will disappear to become black hair. If you don't have hair, you will have hair. Everything is turning, changing. It takes days to weeks. Slowly changing until Sarah's body became a young woman. So that's why when he, in the next chapter of 20, what happened? When they went down to Gerar, that they are afraid of Amalek. Might take Sarah to wife, right? Sarah is 90 years old, almost. You think she's pretty and young and handsome like a 20-year-old lady? Or maybe like as pretty as Yvonne? Or so cute and all so young looking? No, of course not. You see? It's a woman. All the wrinkles already dark. But here, wow, Amalek saw this woman so pretty. Wanted half a wife. So how many days or weeks have passed? Do you know circumcision? Because we read earlier on in chapter 17, Abraham was circumcised. When you are circumcised as an adult, you know how long it takes to heal? Not 3 weeks. Some even go up to as much as 6 weeks for the healing. Because you're an adult. That's all circumcision was done. They were done by when the male child is 8 days old. Because that's when there's a lot of red blood corpuscles. And, you know, all the blood cells being reproduced, so it's quick healing. But for an adult male, it takes 6 weeks. And 6 weeks is 1.5 months, right? Is it? Yeah, 1.5 months. That's when the whole body began to change. Sarah Abraham began to change. And within another few more weeks, and they noticed the difference. Then they can sleep together. The season of life has come. The cycle has come back. The age is there. And the fertility period is there. And followed by after conception, 9 months later, the third time, you will have a son. You see, God knows. You talk about biology. I love biology. And God is a great biologist. He created this body, he knows what he's doing. You see, when God spoke to Abraham, remember I said Abraham was a friend of God. Now, just because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribe claim that Abraham is the father, right? Doesn't mean anything. Now, these people have degrees. Paul, remember Paul? I wonder how many degrees he had. And I don't think any theologian today can compare to Paul's degree. But he took them all down and teared it up and published through, burning the fire and considered them all done. But today, mankind are looking for degree. Yeah, degree. All the paper. So now with the COVID-19, we're here. Are those people graduate? Now got no job. What's the paper going to do to you? You understand what I'm saying? So the Pharisees say, oh, we have Abraham as a father, we know the law, we know this, blah, blah, blah. Wow, they were super, spiritual, we'll say. So, you look at the New Testament, you know that the Jew, I mean, this religious leader, they always claim Abraham is a father and the prophets and so on, right? They are trying to tell me this. We are special people. When we whistle, heaven will whistle. And you know, when Jesus asked the disciple, who do men think that I am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, one of these prophets, right? But who do you say I am? And everybody wondered for a little while until the Holy Spirit hit upon Peter and his stories about the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, no, flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Yes! So the Catholic Church says that the Pope is the one. Whatever you lose on earth, lose in heaven. Whatever you bind up on, is bound in heaven. Because the Pope is supposed to be Peter. Peter was the first Pope. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Every one of us, we know our foundation is upon the rock. Christ the rock. Right? And if you can forgive someone on earth, God will forgive it in heaven. You lose it, you will lose it. You bind it, you will be bound in heaven. Imagine if you cannot forgive, God still remember you don't forgive him. That's so important to talk to the person, I'm sorry. There are a lot of people who have done evil to me and never say sorry. Because they don't think they need enough to say, I'm sorry, brethren. No. Every evil thing that you do, if you don't lose it, you still bind it. You still be there. And the Pharisees, of course, the Sadducees, they lost their reward. Because they never had the Lord God or Yahweh as their friend. Alright. So now, in closing, I'm going to say this. Don't be, the human being have four problems here we have. This religious people. I told you this, don't be religious. People who are religious have this super idea, super spiritual idea they have. Okay? That is to say, they feel that they are dynamic. They have the dynamic personality. And they can go out there and they can talk big and all that. Oh yeah, we have that in Singapore. And then as if they have the golden touch. That there are some special person with special power in prayer. You know one thing? Nobody could hear you, only God. And then the personal opinion that they have, I think, my opinion is this, my view is this, versus what God said. So, let us hear the voice of God. Now, don't have that other voices that is around that we hear. And then you have the human, religious people wanted to conduct themselves religiously, like the religious leader. They dress up in their religious garb, the polish and how they should stand and so on and so forth. Alright? So don't be like them, but at least be like Paul, who was a Pharisee of the Sanhedrin, that he considered all those things that he had, his education has done. Now, let's go to a few verses. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So that is one of the weakness of man. Let's go over to Psalm 62:9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Yeah, men of high degree are a lie. They are all kind of short of poison, all that stuff. Luke 16:50, and we close. That's the last verse. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So don't act high and mighty and well polished. How many of you want to enjoy eternity with God? And the capacity to enjoy God for all eternity is how much love that you show to Him. Right? Look at Abraham. That's how God gets His love for him. Gets how much He loved him and dealt with him. And surely God will deal with us as we get close to Him. Amen? God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Oh, blessed be thy holy name. Thou art worthy of praise, Heavenly Father. And as Abraham's children, here we are today. Let us all be grateful and rejoice in what Abraham went through to show us, Lord, his faith, his love for you, his patience. Knowing that, as you promised, Lord, you will surely bring it out. If it takes 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 25 years. Lord, teach us patience. If you have to put us in the furnace of fire to be tried, help us to hold on and not crack up, Lord. We thank you for your grace. for that which you have shown to Abraham, and for the mystery that has been revealed. To know, Father, the spoken word must be spoken. The word must be spoken. And the Sarah must hear. And the Abraham must hear. And when there is a covenant made, and life is shed, or the blood is shed, and the life will surely come in the season that you have set for them. And when the season is come for us, O Lord, we do not know when. We will surely hear the word spoken. It will quicken us in the change of this body. And the season of life will spring forth from within us, O Father. Just like our Lord Jesus. When he was sent, when he resurrected, Lord, so would the body, the blood resurrect with him. When he ascended, so will we ascend with him too, Father, as he come and take with us home, Father, Lord. We thank you, Father. Bless the rest of the day now. Bless thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.